نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. The second juz. سيقول السفهاء من الناس ما ولاهم عن قبلتهم التي كانوا عليها قل لله المشرق والمغرب يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. The foolish among the people will say, what has turned them away from their Qibla, which they used to face? Say, to Allah belongs the East and the West. He guides whom He wills to a straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the changing of the Qibla after the Prophet, peace be upon him, moved to Medina. When he settled in Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Muslims to pray while facing Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa. So for about 17 months, the Muslims used to pray facing Jerusalem, which was in the exact opposite direction of the Kaaba, the Haram in Mecca. The Prophet ﷺ was waiting for the hukum, the ruling, to come back where he could face the Kaaba again. But when the Kaaba changed, it was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to invite the Bani Israel as a way to show solidarity to them. After about 17 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Qibla to be changed again. When the wahi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Qibla direction had changed, he was in Salah. And during Salah, he turned around, walked to the other side, so he was at the last row of the Muqtadis, those who were standing behind him. Without hesitation, without any question, all the people behind him turned and faced the other way because he had moved the other way. So he had moved to the back row and then started leading Salah facing the direction again toward Makkah. The Muqtadis who were behind him simply turned around, remained stationed where they were, and now they were still behind the Prophet ﷺ, and he continued his Salah in that way. A little ways away, there was another masjid where the people were praying to Jerusalem. One of the Sahaba came to the masjid and from outside called out to the people inside and informed them that the Qibla had changed back to Kaaba. During Salah, the people also changed their direction. Allahu Akbar, without any question, without any hesitation. So Allah says, the foolish among the people will say, what has turned them away from their Qibla, which they used to face? Who are these foolish people? The people who wanted to find objections to Islam, the people who wanted to find something to criticize the Muslims about. Allah says, say, to Allah belongs the East and the West. He guides whom He wills to the straight path. And thus we have made you a median community. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَقُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us the median nation? أُمَّةٌ وَسَطٌ also means the best nation. It means a moderate nation. Allah has made the Muslims a moderate nation. Allah says the reason is that you will be witnesses over the people and the messenger will be a witness over you. On the Day of Judgment, the Muslims will give witness that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had conveyed his message to the people, and they will give the confirmation that the Quran was conveyed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah then says, a messenger will be a witness over you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be a witness over us that he did relay the message. Allah then says, and we did not make the Qibla which you used to face except that we might make evident those who would follow the messenger from who would turn back on his heels. It was a test. It was a very hard and very difficult test. This is one of the first instances where the whole community had to bear the brunt of jokes. And they started saying, the hypocrites and the Jews, what kind of religion is this? They don't know what they're doing. SubhanAllah. But it was a test from Allah. Allah says, and indeed it is difficult except for those whom Allah has guided, and never would Allah have caused you to lose your faith, meaning your previous prayers. Indeed, Allah is to the people kind and merciful. So the people started asking about their friends and relatives who had passed away before the final change of the Qibla. Was their salah still valid? Would they get ajr for their salah? They were worried about their family members and their prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers it by calling salah iman. So salah is in reality a reflection of the iman of a person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah is very affectionate, always merciful. A change of anything is very difficult. It is very hard. But this was a lesson for the Muslims and for us. Yet man should turn only to Allah, like a magnetic needle in a compass. Only one way. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders, a person should turn that way. Wherever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns, we should turn that way. May Allah make us of those people. Ameen. Ayah number 144. We have certainly seen the turning of your face, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, toward the heaven, and we will surely turn you to a qibla with which you will be pleased. So turn your face, that is yourself, toward Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And wherever you believers are, turn your faces, meaning yourselves, toward it in prayer. Indeed, those who have been given the scripture, meaning the Jews and the Christians, well know that it is the truth from their Lord, and Allah is not unaware of what they do. Allah says that the Jews and the Christians know that the Kaaba is the true Qibla. SubhanAllah. This was a sign of the changing of leadership. Now remember that we are still in the middle of Surah Al-Baqarah. In the first Jews, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented different kinds of people. He talked about the muttaqi, the pious people. He talked about the kuffar. Allah presented the examples of fasiqeen, the defiantly disobedient ones like the Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked at length about hypocrisy. And at the end of that section, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a beautiful example of Ibrahim alayhi salam, wherever he was ordered to do something, Aslim, to submit, he submitted immediately. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tested the Muslims. Were they ready to submit completely? And who was going to be weeded out of this test? Who was going to fail this test? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah is aware of what people are doing. And so now, this was a sign of the changing of the leadership, because the Jews and the Christians knew this was the right Qibla. But the Bani Israel in Medina made fun of this change. They refused to believe it. SubhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now anointing the Muslim community, the Muslim nation, with the leadership of the world. Allah says, and if you brought to those who were given the scripture every sign, they would not follow your Qibla. Nor will you be a follower of their Qibla, nor would they be followers of one another's Qibla. So if you were to follow their desires after what has come to you of knowledge, indeed you would then be among the wrongdoers. Allah is telling Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man cannot please everyone. We should stand up for the truth. That is truly beneficial. Allah then says, those to whom we gave the scripture know him, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they know their own sons. But indeed a party of them conceal the truth while they know it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned in the Torah, he was described in the Torah. In fact, the Jews used to threaten the Arabs, the Kufar Arabs, with the coming of their Prophet. They were waiting for him to come. Allah says, the truth is from your Lord, so never be among the doubters. For each religious following is a prayer direction toward which it faces. So raise to all that is good. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ إِسْتَبَقَ means to compete and try to go ahead of someone else, to seek to go ahead. How are we supposed to compete? In what are we supposed to compete each other? In good deeds, al-khairat, not money, not looks, not power, nor station in society. Allah says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, so raise to all that is good. Wherever you may be, Allah will bring you forth for judgment altogether. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent. A passion should be one single goal, one purpose in life. Priority number one, that I need to lead my life so that Allah is pleased with me. Allah then says, so from wherever you go out for prayer, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, turn your face toward Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and indeed it is the truth from your Lord, and Allah is not unaware of what you do. And from wherever you go out for prayer, turn your face toward Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and wherever you believers may be, turn your faces toward it, in order that the people will not have any argument against you, except for those of them who commit wrong. So fear them not, but fear me, and it is so I may complete my favor upon you, and that you may be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterates changing the direction of the Qibla over and over again. The Kaaba symbolizes the center of attention of all mankind. Kaaba symbolizes that all human beings, no matter which direction they come from, they must face one direction, one goal. The worship of no other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to lead their lives to please Him. This is the identity of the Muslims. We must be united and not scattered in our beliefs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي. Do not fear other people, do not fear them, fear me. Because if we fear Him, Allah says, وَلِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, so that I will complete my favor upon you, and so that you are going to become guided. Fearing others makes one weak. Fearing Allah takes out all other fears. Otherwise, we can fear multiple other things, innumerable other things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talks about the completion of this favor. What is this completion of favor? Allah says, just as we have sent among you a messenger from yourselves, reciting to you our verses, and purifying you, and teaching you the book and wisdom, and teaching you that which you did not know. This is the same curriculum that was described in the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made. Ibrahim alayhi salam asked that Allah should send a messenger amongst the people, the inhabitants of the Kaaba, the Makkah, the Haram, a messenger from amongst themselves, that he would recite upon them the ayat of Allah, he would purify them, teach them the book, and hikmah, the wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers a dua, and he tells the Muslims that now that the leadership is in our hands, we have to do one thing alone, that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establish Islam in our lives and around us. In order to do that, we need knowledge. We need a role model. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed His favor upon us and He guided us, and Allah is commanding us to gain knowledge. Allah says, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ, a messenger from amongst yourselves, you're someone you knew well, you were comfortable with. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا, He recites upon you our ayat. وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ, and He purifies you. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and He teaches you the book and the wisdom. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ, and teaching you that which you did not know. All knowledge comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is worldly knowledge, whether it is religious knowledge. Allah says, فَاسْكُرُونِي أَسْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ, so remember me and I will remember you, and be grateful to me, and do not deny me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers us when we remember Him. Imagine that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am with my servant when he remembers me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when my servant remembers me within himself, I remember him within myself. When my servant mentions me in a gathering, I mention him in a gathering greater than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be grateful to me and do not deny me. Meaning we need to hold fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always keep Him in the forefront of our minds and our hearts. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who have believed, seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. So how are we to hold fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learn the Qur'an, the sunnah, apply it in our lives, get purified, follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It needs help. Ihdina siratal mustaqim, siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Ista'inu, nasta'in, we seek your help. So Allah says, okay, seek my help with sabr. Be patient because it will be challenging. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very upfront. The path of Islam, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, is full of challenges. But you need to be patient upon them. And Allah says, seek help with salah. Salah is a direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah is with those who are patient. Imagine that, to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power with you all the time. Allah says, and do not say about those who are killed in the way of Allah, they are dead. Rather, they are alive, but you perceive it not. Why is Allah mentioning them, the martyrs? Because that is the ultimate test, and they were patient on that. In fact, they look forward to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who die in His path, they are not dead, they are alive. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that their souls are kept in birds that fly around in Jannah. Subhanallah. Allah says, you perceive it not. And then Allah says, and we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient who, when disaster strikes them, say, indeed we belong to Allah, and indeed to Him we will return. Allah says, we are definitely going to test you. Allah is so kind and merciful. He tells us that this life over here, it is not Jannah. It is not paradise. Allah keeps changing and shifting the events in our lives. Like the night and day shifts and changes. Things change, events change, emotions change, experiences change. Allah says, we will test you with something of fear. You will feel al-khawf, wal-ju'i, and hunger. وَنَقْسِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, and you will experience loss of wealth, difficulties in spending and earning. وَالْأَنْفُسِ, and in your lives, perhaps it will be with health or with anything else that is related to us, family members. Subhanallah, may Allah keep us safe. Ameen. وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, and fruits, the fruits of your labor, the efforts that you have made. But Allah says something amazing. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, congratulate those who are patient. Why would you congratulate people who are going through a difficult time, through difficulty? Islam completely changes our way of thinking, how we look at things, how we approach things. The way a Muslim, a true mu'min, looks at the world is completely different from how other people look at the world. Let's look at why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says next, who when disaster strikes them, they say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, it's all right. We belong to Allah. We are going to return back to Him. It really doesn't matter what's happening right now. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. This is the reason why these people are supposed to be congratulated. Those are the ones upon whom are blessings from their Lord and mercy. And it is those who are the rightly guided. An evidence of guidance that a person when disaster strikes them says immediately, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sabr is at the first strike of a calamity in meaning. Allah then says, indeed, As-Safa and Al-Marwa are among the symbols of Allah. As-Safa and Marwa are mentioned because of the intense patience, the amazing, unparalleled patience of a woman with a baby in the middle of the desert. Nobody was there to take care of them. And the Prophet of God had just left them there because it was a command from God. Hajra alayhi salam was left there with Ibrahim, by Ibrahim alayhi salam, with a little baby, 6-month-old baby, Ismail alayhi salam. There was nobody there. It was desolate. There was not a single drop of water present. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that these are among the symbols of Allah. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rewarded them and raised their status. Allah says, so whoever makes Hajj, pilgrimage to the house, or performs Umrah, there is no blame upon him. There is no blame upon him for walking between them, walking between As-Safa and Al-Marwa. And whoever volunteers good, then indeed Allah is appreciative and knowing. Some believers had previously feared that this might be a pagan practice because the kuffar used to keep the statues of their gods on the top of each of those hills. So Allah confirms that Sa'i is among the rites of his religion. Allah then says, indeed, those who conceal what we have sent down of clear proofs and guidance after we made it clear for the people in the scripture, those are cursed by Allah and cursed by those who curse, meaning from the among the angels and believers. They are the ones who curse those who conceal the proofs that Allah has sent. Except for those who repent and correct themselves and make evident what they concealed, those I will accept their repentance, and I am the accepting of repentance, the merciful. Indeed, those who disbelieve and die while they are disbelievers, upon them will be the curse of Allah and of the angels and the people altogether, abiding eternally therein. The punishment will not be lightened for them, nor will they be reprieved. And your God is one God. Wa ilahukum ilahun wahid. La ilaha illa huwa rahmanur rahim. And your God is one God. There is no deity worthy of worship except Him, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the night and the day, and the great ships which sail through the sea, with that which benefits people, and what Allah has sent down from the heavens of rain, giving life thereby to the earth after its lifelessness, and dispersing therein every kind of moving creature, and His directing of the winds, and the clouds controlled between the heaven and earth, are signs for a people who use reason. لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ People who have aql and they use it. And yet among the people are those who take other than Allah as equals to Him. They love them as they should love Allah. But those who believe are stronger in love for Allah. And if only they who have wronged would consider that when they see the punishment, they will be certain that all power belongs to Allah and that Allah is severe in punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ They are the most intense in the love of Allah. Who? The believers. Allah says, as far as those who take partners other than Allah, they think there are made up partners other than Allah. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ They love them as they should love Allah. Which means what? That the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very unique emotion. That emotion cannot be shared with anybody else. Allah will not accept that. Allah wants that special love reserved only for Him because He deserves it. And He tells us that believers truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most out of everyone else. Their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique. It is unlike any other love. Allah says that if only they who have wronged would consider that when they see the punishment, they will be certain that all power belongs to Allah and that Allah is severe in punishment. So where is this love coming from? Where is this stemming from? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth, and He changes the night and the day, and the ships that sail through the sea, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides risk, He sends down rains from the sky, He gives life to the earth after its lifelessness, He has put all kinds of moving creatures all over the earth. He moves the winds with the wind cycle, and He moves the clouds and the pollination and all of that. The beautiful smells from the flowers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that, He has directed that, He has designed that. The green grass and the blue sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that. Our families and our friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided them. The fact that we can see and we can hear and we can move without any help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided it. This is where the love comes from. It stems from complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge that only Allah has power. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no power nor ability except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed creates its own kind of love. A person who loves based on tawheed, that love is very intense and it is very unusual. People who love God and they also love their so-called partners that they have created themselves, they can never feel that intensity and they can never feel that uniqueness. It is only those who truly worship Allah as one. Allah make us and our generations till the end of time of those. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, and they should consider that when those who have been followed disassociate themselves from those who followed them, and they all see the punishment and cut off from them are the ties of relationship. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the leaders and the followers on the day of judgment will be cut off from each other. He's warning us in essence, be careful on whom you follow. Allah says, those who followed will say, if only we had another turn at worldly life, so we could disassociate ourselves from them as they have disassociated themselves from us. So on the day of judgment, the leaders will say, we have nothing to do with these followers. Why? Because they would not want to be burdened with the sins of the followers. And the followers will be blaming the leaders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not come under pressure from your associates, from your colleagues, from people around you. Allah says, thus will Allah show them their deeds as regrets upon them. Why did we follow? And why did we make others follow? Subhanallah. Allah says, and they are never to emerge from the fire. O mankind, eat from whatever is on earth that is lawful, halal and tayyiba, and good and pure, and do not follow the footsteps of Satan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. Allah is telling us to eat halal. He is ordering us to eat halal. That means the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible. Everything in this world is permissible except for very, very few things. Allah says, not just halal, but eat things that are good for you. They are pure for you. Allah says, if you do not do that, it means that a person is following the footsteps of Satan. We seek refuge in Allah from doing that. Ameen. Allah says, he, meaning Satan, only orders you to evil and immorality and to say about Allah what you do not know. Meaning that if a person eats things that are not halal and eats things that are not pure, then they come under the influence of shaitan. Subhanallah. Allah says, when it is said to them, and when it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed, they say, rather we will follow that which we found our fathers doing. Even though their fathers understood nothing, nor were they guided, eating halal and tayyab has an effect on our belief system. It affects the way we perceive things, how we process things in our minds and our hearts. So the people who don't eat halal, what happens to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they become deluded and they cannot see the truth as truth. Allah says the example of those who disbelieve is like that of one who shouts at what hears nothing but calls and cries, meaning cattle or sheep, deaf, dumb, and blind. They do not understand. O you who have believed, Allah says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum, washkuru lillahi in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. That is a great condition. Allah says, O you who have believed, eat from the good and lawful things which we have provided for you, and be grateful to Allah if it is indeed Him that you worship. Subhanallah, Allah is challenging us. If you claim that you worship me, then you are going to eat the lawful things only. And to do that is to show gratitude. Allah says He has only forbidden to you dead animals, blood, the flesh of swine, and that which has been dedicated to other than Allah. What has Allah forbidden? Allah gives us this very short list. Allah says, meat, our animals that have died before a person has had the ability to slaughter them, has had the chance to slaughter them. So animals that die from a blunt instrument, they die from falling down or goring of an animal, but they die before a person has had the chance to slaughter them. Carrion, that is forbidden. Blood of animals is forbidden, except what remains naturally in the muscles. The flesh of swine is forbidden, and that which has been dedicated to other than Allah. Anything, any meat that is sacrificed in the name of other than Allah, it could be any person, any idol, anyone else other than Allah, it is forbidden to us. Any sweets that are dedicated to other than Allah, any kind of food that is dedicated to anyone other than Allah, all of that is categorically haram and forbidden. But Allah in His mercy has given an exception. Allah says next, but whoever is forced by necessity, that means if a person is dying of starvation, Allah says, neither desiring it, there's a condition attached to that, neither desiring it nor transgressing its limit, that means just enough to sustain life, Allah says there is no sin upon him. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Alhamdulillah, Allah is truly kind and merciful. Indeed, they who conceal what Allah has sent down of the book and exchange it for a small price, those consume not into their bellies except fire. And Allah will not speak to them on the day of resurrection, nor will He purify them, and they will have a painful punishment. All of this was the same instructions that were given to the Bani Israel in the Torah, the same instructions in the Injil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are hiding it, the scholars are hiding it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns them that He will not speak to them, He will not look at them, He will not purify them on the day of judgment, because they're hiding the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other evidences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to or look at other kinds of people. From the ahadith we know that a person who breaks their oaths, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to them, neither will He purify them. The one who drags his clothes on the ground out of pride and haughtiness, Allah will not speak to them and will not purify them. The one who swears while lying to sell his merchandise, Allah will do the same with that person. The one who gives charity and reminds people of it, Allah will not look at them or speak to them. Allah will not look at the one who prevents a traveler from surplus water. Allah will not look at the one who breaks his pledge to the leader. Allah will not look at the one, neither will He speak to the aged adulterer, because he has no need to do adultery. He is an old man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to or look at an unjust king, because a king has all power in his authority, and he does not have to be unjust. Allah will not look at the one who is proud, yet he is destitute. Allah will not look at or speak to the person who is cruel and disobedient to his parents. Allah will not look at or speak to a woman who pretends to be masculine. Allah will not look at a person who is described in the hadith as a dayyut, meaning a man who does not mind when the women in his life do indecent acts. Subhanallah. We seek refuge in being of such people. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, those are the ones who have exchanged guidance for error and forgiveness for punishment. How patient they are for pursuit of the fire. SubhanAllah. Allah says that is deserved by them because Allah has sent down the book in truth. And indeed those who differ over the book are in extreme dissension. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبِلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والصائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, righteousness is not that you turn your faces toward the east or the west, but true righteousness is in one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, and the prophets, and gives wealth in spite of love for it to relatives, orphans, the needy, the traveler, those who ask for help and for freeing slaves, and who establishes prayer and gives zakah, those who fulfill their promise when they promise, and those who are patient in poverty and hardship and during battle, those are the ones who have been true, and it is those who are the righteous. Isn't it interesting that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reiterated over and over again that we must turn our faces toward the Qibla, the true direction of the Qibla, the Kaaba, over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, righteousness is not that you turn your faces toward the east or the west. Why is he saying that? Because many times this is what we think Islam is. Islam is to simply follow rules. It is simply to follow rituals. Where is the spirit? Where is Iman? Where does Iman reside? Iman resides in the heart. It's a belief system. It is an emotional belief system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says true righteousness first comes from within, what you believe and what is important to you. And then it is expressed in how you behave with those around you. And then it is expressed in your direct relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think that righteousness is that a person must attend the masjid 5 times a day or pray and then just pray long tahajjud and fast and give the zakah and charity. But it has really nothing to do with your being a caring human being. Yes, all of those rituals are important, but a believer really cares about other people. A believer is moved by the troubles of other people. A believer is true to their word. Allah says righteousness is one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, the prophets, and gives wealth in spite of love for it. Despite the fact that they find it difficult to give, sometimes they still give. To who? To relatives. They care about their blood relatives. They care about orphans, the needy, the traveler, meaning even if someone is traveling with you, they care about them. They're constantly on alert. Does someone need me? They're there for them. And Allah says those who ask for help and for freeing slaves. This is overall piety, great piety. And after all of this, Allah mentions who established prayer and gives zakah. And then he says, those who fulfill their promise. The Prophet ﷺ says that a person who does not fulfill their promises has no iman. Rasulullah ﷺ said, there is no faith for the one who has no trust. And there is no religion for the one that does not fulfill his promises. This is from Musnad Ahmad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Suratul Mu'minun also praises those who truly fulfill their trust. Allah says those who are faithfully true to their trusts and to their covenants, and those who strictly guard their prayers, these are indeed the inheritors who shall inherit paradise. Because the opposite is true of hypocrites. Hypocrites, the Prophet ﷺ has taught us, are the ones who break their promises. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a mark of a Muslim. Whenever they promise that they are going to do something for you, they fulfill it, even if it is difficult for them. Allah says, and who establishes prayer and gives zakah? Those who fulfill their promise when they are promised, and those who are patient in poverty and hardship and during battle in difficult circumstances, people stay steadfast because they truly believe. Those are the ones who have been true, and it is those who are the righteous. It's a comprehensive prescription of piety.